The message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I don't know if you noticed the sermon title for today, printed in our bulletin. It seems a bit odd. Why? Because I use the adjective greatest to describe the noun sinner. But what's great about being a sinner? That word great can mean good, honorable, awesome, stupendous, admirable. Surely those words can't be used to describe a sinner. Of course, we must remember that the word great can also mean huge, massive, extreme, ultimate, intense. And obviously those words can describe how really bad a particular sinner may be. In fact, sometimes we just love to make comparisons. I mean, if we feel bad about ourselves or a bit guilty, we can easily find someone else who seems to be much more sinful than we are. All we have to do is watch the news, read the paper, surf the internet, and we can find lots of people who seem to be far more evil than we are. I mean, so what if you have hatred in your heart? You've never murdered anybody, right? So what if you have racist tendencies? You've never actually owned a slave, right? And so what if you have lustful thoughts or look at porn every so often? I mean, you've never actually committed adultery, right? And so what if you listen to gossip once in a while? You've never actually deliberately told a lie to ruin somebody's reputation. And so what if you're a child who doesn't share your toys with your brother or sister? It's not like you've stolen anything, right? And so what if you don't pray very often or never go to Bible class? At least you're not an atheist, right? Yes, we can always find people who seem to be much greater sinners than we are, and we use this fact to comfort ourselves. Here's how we're tempted to think. Why should God be angry with me when other people are far worse than I am? Why should God be upset with me when my sins are no near as bad as the terrorists or the murderers or the rapists or the drug dealers or the prostitutes of this world? Let's go back to the sermon title. The greatest sinner of all. Now, who could that be? Was it Adam and Eve? I mean, they started the whole mess, didn't they? Was it Cain, the first murderer? Maybe it was Pharaoh. Remember the Pharaoh who ordered all the baby boys of Israel to be killed? Or maybe it was King Jeroboam, the rebel king who led God's people to worship idols. Or, I know, maybe it was Judas, the one who actually betrayed our Lord. But of course we have some good options from modern history. Maybe the greatest sinner is some racist slave trader who sold African people like cattle. Or maybe Adolf Hitler. Think of how many innocent people he killed. Then again, maybe it's some abortionist who's killed thousands of preborn children. Or then maybe some drug dealer who gets young children hooked on meth. Of course, when we think what's going on in the world today, we might want to suggest Osama bin Laden or some other terrorist leader. You know, I could talk all day trying to come up with people who fit the description, the greatest sinner of all. But don't despair. I know exactly who the greatest sinner is. Are you curious? Well, I'll tell you. the greatest sinner of all is Jesus. Does that shock you? I mean, how dare do I suggest that Jesus was guilty of even one sin, much less say that Jesus is the greatest sinner of all? I mean, the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus has no sin. He was perfect in every way. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says that Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So how can I possibly say that Jesus is the greatest sinner of all? Well, listen to these words from our second reading. In Romans 8 verse 3 it says that God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering, and so He condemned sin in sinful man. Did you hear that? God decided to save us by condemning sin in sinful man. But who is that sinful man? The answer is Jesus. But how can that be, you ask? Well, remember the words at the end of our first reading? God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Please understand, Jesus had no sin, but God placed the sin of all people, whoever lived, whoever will live, your sin, my sin, the sin of all people alive today. God placed the sins of all people upon Jesus. And then God condemned sin in sinful man. Jesus became sin for us. As it says in Isaiah chapter 53, "We all like sheep have gone astray, each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand." Did you hear that? Over 800 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah says that he would be condemned for the sin of all people, and that includes you and me. Therefore, Jesus is the greatest sinner of all, because the sin of every single person was placed on him when he was on the cross. Now the question is, what does this mystery mean for you and me today? First, it means we must repent. We need to stop justifying our sins by comparing ourselves to others who are supposedly greater sinners than we are. You see, even though our sins might be punished differently in this world based on how they affect society, before God, all sins are equally evil. The hatred in your heart is just as bad as murder before God. If you have racist feelings, you could just as well be a slave trader before God. The lust in your heart means that you are guilty of adultery before God. The gossip you listen to is just as bad as being an outright liar before God. Your selfishness and refusal to share is no less evil than being a thief before God. Your lack of prayer and failure to attend Bible study, that's just as bad as rejecting God altogether in His eyes. Here we see that we are all equally damned before God. So we must do away with this comparison game. In James chapter 2, it says, "Whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it." So no wonder the Apostle Paul could call himself the chief of sinners. You see, Paul understood that we are all equally guilty before God. Therefore, we need to repent of our sinful comparisons. We must stop thinking that others are greater sinners than we are. But if we're all equally damned before God, then what is our hope? If we are all the chief of sinners, then who could possibly be saved? Well, listen again to the first verse of our second reading from Romans 8. It says, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? It means that God has used His Word to convict us of sin and show us that if we got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell right now. But then it also means that God reaches out to us in that humble, convicted state, and He brings us to faith in Jesus, in whom we are no longer condemned. Remember what Paul said? If you're in Christ Jesus, then you can know that God made Him who had no sin to be sin for you, that in Him you might be the righteousness of God. Jesus takes your sin and death. He gives you His righteousness and life. Jesus became the greatest sinner for you. In fact, you could say that in this case, in fact, only in Jesus' case, the adjective greatest does indeed mean good, honorable, awesome, stupendous, admirable. Jesus is the greatest sinner because even though He really is no sinner at all, He took our sins upon Himself to save us sinners. And my friends, that's why, as we heard from our readings, there is no hope for those who refuse to acknowledge their sin and trust in Christ. Our sinful nature likes to say, you know, I like my sin, and I don't really think it's all that bad, and I really don't intend to change. Besides, others are far worse than I am. Compared to other people I know, I'm a saint. But my friends, such an evil attitude, if left unchecked, will deceive us and lead us to eternal damnation. But God doesn't want anyone to be damned. That's why He condemned sin in sinful man. That's why He placed your iniquity and my iniquity upon Jesus. And that's why the Holy Spirit came to you through baptism and through the preaching of God's Word to give you repentance as well as faith in Christ as your Savior. My friends, God wants you to confess your sin and trust in Jesus every moment of every day. God wants you to know that you are not condemned because Jesus was condemned for you. God wants you to know that you are holy and innocent in His sight because Jesus became the greatest sinner for you. At the end of our gospel reading, Jesus says these words, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." You have been served by Jesus. You are forgiven, and you are holy in God's sight. And that means that now you get to be a servant for others. Not only does that mean that the love of God moves us to help people in their times of need, whatever it may be, but even more than that, it moves us to serve them in the greatest way possible, sharing with them God's Word, ultimately that good news about Jesus, who became sin for us, that all who repent and trust in Him might be the righteousness of God and live in His love forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.